Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." This is not my message. But if our modern society could get those three down, we'd be in much better shape. Not so hateful, not so hostile, not so arrogant, not so reactionary. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want you to notice it says at the end of verse number 23 that there is a man that beholds his natural face in a glass. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, "A Look in the Mirror." A look in the mirror. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we are so thankful that we have this place to come to on a Sunday morning, this group of believers to worship with. Lord, this fellowship of saints to just relax and rejoice with. And Father, now as we come time to look at the precious Word of God, I pray, God, you'd give me direction. Father, the thoughts and the words that you've planted in my mind over this week as we looked at this message in this direction, I pray, Father, you'd help me to communicate them with clarity. Lord, I pray they'd be understanding, and Father, I pray most of all that they would be true to the Word of God. And Lord, that you would use these words and these thoughts to examine our hearts, to show us ourselves. God, not only show us ourselves what we are in and of ourselves, but Father, please show us what we are inside the Lord Jesus Christ because of His grace and mercy. Should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, we pray especially for that one or more than one, that Father, they would trust Christ as Savior today and receive eternal life. For we that are saved, Father, may we take a look in this mirror and see ourselves as you see us. And God, thank you for your grace in cleansing us and making us whole. Bless your word. This morning we ask in Jesus' name, amen. A man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word mirror never appears in the Bible. Yet the image of a mirror is clear here as well as many other places. And here's what's happening. A person that is a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word is one that's looking into a mirror but not reacting to what he sees. I thought it was very interesting and timing. Brother Lewis got up to lead the singing this morning, and when he didn't get a reaction, he said, "What's the matter? Is there something black between my teeth?" And I thought he had no idea I was going to use that as an example of what you see when you look in a mirror. And the warning that you get to tell you everything's not okay, everything's not all right. As I begin this morning, can I take you back to your childhood? For some of you, I know that's a long journey. For some of you, maybe not so long. But can I remind you of a very old movie that you probably saw as a child where the queen, the beautiful queen, would look into the mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And things were fine as long as that magical mirror responded to her, "O queen, you are the fairest of them all." Everything was peace and joy as long as the mirror told her what she wanted to hear. But there was a day that she went to that mirror and found out that there was one in the land, though clothed with rags and unspottable to the natural eye, there was one in the land that was fairer than even she, and you know that that woman's name was Snow White. The mirror was great as long as it gave the reflection she wanted to see. But the minute she got a reflection she didn't want to see, then it wasn't so good anymore. A mirror is a reflection of reality. Mirrors don't lie. What stands in front of it is what is reflected back. I don't know what's happened over the years, but the mirror in my house has become distorted. You ever been to those fun houses and that where, you know, the mirror is weird shaped and it gives you all these things? Well, I must have one of those mirrors because the man in my mirror is old. He doesn't have black hair any longer. He looks a little bit heavier than he's ever looked before. I don't like that mirror. But no matter what I do, I say, well, I'm not going to use that mirror. I'm going to go use a different mirror. I found out the other mirror is just as stinking honest as that mirror was. No matter what mirror I go to, it still gives me an honest reflection of exactly how I look. I don't like mirrors. My wife, we just had our bathroom remodeled. She must like mirrors. Because now we got mirrors. We got not just a mirror, we got three mirrors. And you can turn them and angle them so that you can see yourself from all the... You can see the back of your head as you... I don't want to see any of it. Now granted, I don't have to do my hair the way she does, but this mirror thing is just not something I'm really excited about, because a mirror gives you an honest reflection. When we were on the mission field, we worked with the people that had a very primitive language. The people were no longer quite that primitive, but their language was. For an example, their word for airplane was oksok. And the word, it was a combination. The word ok meant canoe. And the word sok meant flying. And I always enjoyed learning that different language and studying that language to think of how they came with their words and trying to imagine that fisherman out on the reef the first time he ever saw this airplane fly over and trying to describe what it was when he went back to the village people and say he saw something up there, and the only thing he could come up with, it was a flying canoe. How else would you describe something that you didn't know? I like their word for mirror. It was actually their word for pretty or beautiful. And the word was einpot. And the way they got that is because the first Europeans that came over began to bring pots and pans with them. And you know how stainless steel pans, you can see your reflection in it. And the very first time they had ever seen their own reflection was in this iron pot. And they didn't have the R in their vocabulary, so it came out as an einpot. And that's what they used as a mirror, and they called themselves beautiful. When if you want to call a Coach Ryan, say she's very pretty, she says she's Arlena Einpot. We like the reflection that it gives sometimes. That's the purpose of a mirror, is it not? The purpose of the mirror is for someone to admire themselves, if you're so disposed to doing those things. Look back, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 27. Notice a verse here. Proverbs chapter 27. Now you wonder, preacher, why you spend all this time talking about mirrors? Well, just hang on. We'll get there in just a moment. But look at Proverbs chapter 27. And verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 19. Here the Bible says this. Solomon wrote this. And he says in Proverbs 27, verse 19, as in water, face anthereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Notice the as in water, face answereth to face. Again, back in ancient times, they didn't necessarily have a piece of glass, a piece of mirror to look into, but they could see their reflection in the pool of water. When they knelt over to get a drink, or when they bowed over to look into that pool of water, they got the reflection, and their face would answer to their face. It would give them an honest reflection of how they actually looked. If there was something black between their teeth, it told them so. If there were wrinkles forming on the face, it didn't hide that. They didn't have the Facebook app where you could eliminate all the blemishes and make yourself look 30 years younger. When they looked into that pool, it showed them exactly what their image was. It didn't care about their feelings. He didn't say, well, I don't want to show him exactly what he looks like. He's not going to like all that gray hair and that extra weight and the wrinkles around the eyes. And now wearing glasses. He's not going to like that. So I'll give him a distortion. No, it gives you an honest vision of exactly what you look like. And that's what we need. Whether we appreciate it or not, whether we want it or not, we need an honest assessment of what we look like. And some people like it because they like to admire. Here's someone going down to the pool of water and it gets that reflection and sees themselves. In Greek mythology, and you know what Greek mythology is? That's makeup stuff. All right, that's not real. It's amazing how people will criticize the Bible and say, well, you know, all that stuff, and then quote Greek mythology. Well, in Greek mythology, there was a fellow named Narcissus. And Narcissus was like that Beauty and the Beast guy or something. He was a handsome looking guy. And in Greek mythology, Nemesis was the female goddess who didn't like Narcissus because of his beauty. And so Nemesis tempted Narcissus down to the pool of water where Narcissus looked down in it and fell in love with his own reflection. Now that sounds like more than Greek mythology to me. Sounds like modern day America. But Narcissus looked into that pool of water and fell in love with his own image. And in Greek mythology, which you know is not real, in Greek mythology, he would not leave that reflection because he so fell in love with that person in the pool, that good-looking guy down there. He fell in such love with him and communion with him, he would not leave the pool. And he died by that pool looking at his own reflection. That was Narcissus. We get in our language the word narcissism. You know what that means? An asphyxiation with yourself. A focus on yourself. A concentration on yourself. Again, in modern America, we call that a selfie. But Narcissus was fooled by Nemesis, and both of those words, Nemesis, now means your arch enemy, the one that you can never defeat, and that's what happened. But all of this happened because he looked into a pool that gave him a reflection of himself. People like to look into mirrors to admire themselves. And if that's your category here this morning, admire yourself as long as you can, because it ain't going to happen for very long. The second purpose of a mirror is to adjust. Now, the point of my life, that's where we're at now. Mirrors are for adjustments. I look in that mirror and I say, oh man, is there any hope? What can we do? We can comb the hair, we can brush the teeth, we can wash the face, but there's not a whole lot I can do with that. We look in the mirror to adjust. I remember walking in one day, a couple of weeks ago, into the mirror after I'd gotten home and been out all day. And sure enough, there was that little black, I don't know what it was, between my teeth there at the bottom. And I looked in the mirror and saw that and said, I've been walking around all day long, talking to people all over the place, and I've had that black thing right in the middle of my tooth that whole time. When I looked in the mirror, I said, all right, time to get rid of that. Time to make that adjustment. Now, I would be pretty foolish to look at that and say, look at that thing right there between my teeth. I'm going to go out and see a whole bunch of more people and see if they notice it or not. In James chapter 1, that's exactly what he says. The man that beholds his image in the glass and then walks away as if he didn't see anything wrong. Walks away as if there are no adjustments to make. A mirror is to help us make the adjustments that we need to make. It doesn't worry about our feelings. It says you've got gray hairs. It's not a lack of compassion when it says you've got bags under your eyes. It's giving us an honest assessment of exactly what we look like. Now, I've said all that to say this. The Bible is a mirror. Look, if you would, with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here's the whole crux of the message this morning. Everything I've just said about mirrors, whether you like it or don't like it, it's an honest reflection of what you see when you look in the mirror. The Bible is a mirror. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look, if you would, with me at verse number 12. Or thereabouts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, the Bible says this, for now, Paul writes this, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, so more often in the future, face to face. Now I know in part, But then shall I know even as I am known. There are two different interpretations of these verses in 1 Corinthians 13. The first one is that this perfect thing in verse 10, when that which is perfect is come, and when we see through that glass, we'll see ourselves perfectly. The first interpretation is that that's referring to the Word of God, the Bible. The second interpretation is that's referring to the Word of God, capital W, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go with the first one this morning, that which is perfect, which is going to come, that will help us to see correctly, is the Word of God. When the Bible came, then all these other things and all these gifts, these sign gifts and everything, the healing and the miracles and the wonders that happened that the apostles did in the Gospels and even the early part of the book of Acts, all those things faded away when that which was perfect, the Word of God, came. Now that we have the Bible to try things, we don't need to see miracles. We don't need to see wonders. So God has stopped performing those. Now the devil has continued imitating those, but God has stopped performing those because that which is perfect is come. And when that which is perfect is come, we now, Paul said, at that time we saw through a glass darkly, but then face to face. When you look into the Word of God, you see yourself as you truly look. Now, folks, I don't want to offend you this morning, but you're ugly. I'm ugly. When we look at ourselves in the mirror of the Word of God, don't take my word for it. Let's look into the mirror. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. I don't want you to get mad at me this morning. I'm going to smile. Brother Mark Rogers says, if I smile, you can't get mad at me, so I'm going to smile when I say it. It's not me saying you're ugly, it's God saying it. And again, I'm not talking about your outward appearance. I'm talking about on the inside. How we look to God. You know, we care so much about how we look to one another, and thankfully so. But sometimes we're so geared on how we look outwardly that we fail to see how we look inwardly. And the emphasis of our world and our society is so much on outward beauty that those that have the most outward beauty, the Hollywood crowd, the famous, the rich, all those that have all the outward beauty are ugly on the inside. Because we all have that same problem. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, and I've got to catch up to you now here. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, you know the verse. In Jeremiah 17 verse 9, we're looking into the mirror of the Word of God. And here's what the Bible says about you as you look into it. It says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now that's being brutally honest. That's telling you the truth regardless of your feelings. The Bible says when you look into the mirror of the Word of God that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know, the best thing you can do is see the gray hairs, is see the things stuck in your teeth, is see the bags on, so you can do something about it. But if you ignore it and pretend it, oh, well, that mirror reflection isn't really me. That's somebody standing behind me. That's somebody standing next to me. That's somebody that's cut in front of me, but that's not me. When we get to that point, we fail to take care of the problem. And so we're going to walk around with that problem visible the rest of our life. So the Bible gives us an honest reflection of ourselves, that in and of ourselves, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Are you honest enough this morning to say Jeremiah 17:9 is the mirror that accurately reflects me? Because that's who we are. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We studied a couple years ago the book of Romans chapter 3, and I encourage you to turn there quickly with me if you would. Romans chapter 3. If you want to get depressed, read Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. Because it doesn't paint a good picture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you can't find a loophole to get yourself out of the all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 1, and we studied this before, it gives us the sins of the heathen. In chapter 1. And you read that big long list at the end of chapter, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisper, backbiter, haters of God. Isn't that an awful picture? And that's what the mirror, and that's what our world is right now, folks. That's the way our society is right now. It fills all those things. In chapter 2, it's not the sins of the heathen, but the sins of the Hebrews. And it talks about their self-righteousness. It talks about them think they're better than the Gentiles were because they were chosen by God. And so their religion and self-righteousness, Paul tells them, are we any better than them? No, and no wise. For both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. Then in chapter 3, he gives us the sins of humanity. He lumps us all together, the heathen and the Hebrew together. And in Romans chapter 3, it's a scathing rebuke of how we look, beginning in verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none, 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 none. N-O-N-E, absolutely no one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now you'll stand in front of that mirror and say, except me. And God says, no, not one. He goes so far as to say this in verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, throat, tongues, lips. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's all their words. Their throat, their tongues, their lips, their mouth. Their ways, beginning in verse 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Verse 16, destruction and misery are in their ways. Verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. Verse 18, there's no fear of God before their eyes. You know what the Lord is telling us? That through and through, we're ugly. Through and through, there's nothing pleasing to God. We're not going to be like Narcissus that stands by the pool and admires the reflection and falls in love with it. When we get an honest biblical view of ourselves, according to the Word of God, we stand back in humility and in awe saying, God, how could you possibly even love somebody like me? When we look at our heart the way God sees our heart, see, we want to change the mirror. We want a different view. We want to look into the mirror and see the person next to us or behind us. But the Bible gives us an accurate reflection of ourselves. We are completely undone. There is no hope. There is nothing good in us. Now we might stand in front of that mirror and say, well, wait a minute. Now wait a minute. You're missing something. Look at the good things I have done. Look at the times I've tried to help other people or I've done something that was good. I have performed some righteousness. Well, the Bible again gives us an accurate reflection of our righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 it said, all our righteousnesses, and I think that's a very interesting word, not all of our righteousness, all of our righteousnesses. I think if you probably use that in writing something, word check would tell you that's not a word. And probably in our modern vernacular, it's not. But how beautiful and accurate. All of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. Even the things you and I stand in front of that mirror and admire, God says, no, that's a blemish. No, that's a fault. Even those things we do our... I'm going to pick on Aurora. She came back from camp yesterday. She had the most unusual hairdo I've ever seen. She had a water bottle on top of her head with all of her hair tied up around. I didn't know there was a water bottle there. I didn't know how she got all her hair to stand up very high like that on top. But I found out she had a water bottle on top of her head with the hair wrapped around it. Somebody said she looked, what? Who did she look like? Some cartoon cat. I'm not into that stuff very well. Pardon? Betty Boop? Okay, oh yeah, Okay, that one, yeah. She had her hair done up like that. All right, when I saw that, I thought, oh, that's cute. But there was something in there holding up. There was something making it look that way. It wasn't natural. It wasn't that way, this way it's supposed to be. The Bible says that all of our righteousnesses are put on. They're not real. They're not genuine. They're fake. We are doing things hoping that we can look good before God. And God says, I see through your motive. I see through your desires. I see through what you're doing. I give you an accurate reflection of who you are, and it's not a pretty picture. Say, preacher, I don't like that reflection. Well, here's the thing. Until you see the problem in the mirror, you'll not do anything about it. It's only when I got home late in that day and realized I had something between my teeth that I quickly got the toothbrush out and took care of it. Had I not looked into the mirror, I'd gone through the rest of the day the same way. I would not have addressed the problem had the mirror not been accurate. Now, I don't know if somebody saw me during the day and didn't want to hurt my feelings, so they didn't say anything. I'd rather have had my feelings hurt. But because they didn't want to hurt my feelings, the Bible's not worried about our feelings. The Bible's worried about giving us an accurate reflection of our own hearts. And it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Until we see our sin, we'll not do anything about it. You know, folks, that's the problem with many people. They don't want to get too close to that mirror. If the mirror's on that back door and I stand back here, I look pretty good from a distance. My clothes look all right from a distance. But once you get close to the mirror, then you see the lint on the jacket. Then you see the wrinkles in the pants. Then you see the lack of shine on the shoes. Once you get close to the mirror, then you see the imperfections in the physical appearance. But you don't see it from a distance, you see it. And so a lot of folks say, well, I'm not going to church, it's just full of hypocrites. Well, the biggest hypocrite is the one that won't get close to the mirror. The one that'll stay way back there and point to those people up there and accuse them. That's the bigger hypocrite. The one that's going to claim the title Christian, say that they're going to heaven when they die, and I'm not here to argue about those things, but I'm just, the ones that stand back there and say all that stuff, and they're scared to death of getting close to the mirror, because then they're going to see what they really look like. It's easy to pat yourself on the back when you're standing far away from the mirror. But come to the house of God. Get around the people of God. Listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and all of a sudden you get an accurate reflection, and you're not real excited about what you see. Let the preacher get up there and start preaching about the conniving of Jacob. You remember him? Deceiving his father. Deceiving his father-in-law. Deceiving the people around him, his brother when he came to see him. He was just a conniving rascal. And let a preacher get up and preach to a group full of people about deceit and conniving, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of somebody's heart and says, he's talking about you. And the preacher ain't talking about you, but the Holy Ghost knows the preacher's talking about you. And you start getting convicted about the conniving and the dishonesty that you know you've been involved in and performing. And God begins to work on your heart. And now you start getting a reflection you didn't have before you came into church that day. And a reflection you didn't really want to see. But the Bible is brutally honest. Let the preacher start preaching about the dishonesty of Achan. You remember that fellow? He went out and took something that didn't belong to him and brought a curse upon his whole nation and upon his whole household because he took something that wasn't his. And when they had to boil it down and find out, he wasn't about to admit that he'd taken it until there was no way to get out of it. He lied to the very end. He was dishonest about it. And so somebody says, well, I'm not going to church. Yeah, I know why. Because you're worried the Spirit of God's going to convict you about how you look in that mirror, and you don't want to confront it. You don't want to deal. You'd rather walk around not facing that reflection. Oh, I could go on and on. The treachery of Jezebel. The lies that she told. The false accusations. Lifting someone up and having false accusations made so that that person would be dragged out and stoned to death. And she was responsible for it, and she had no repentance over it. I think of the betrayal of friendship in Judas Iscariot. And how he betrayed his closest friend with a kiss on the cheek to identify him to the foreigner. A breaking of the bond of friendship. Now, if you're guilty of that, you sure don't want to go to church and have the preacher preach about it. You don't want to have him open up the Word of God and start opening that mirror up and you seeing a reflection of that. So you stand back away from the church, away from the mirror, and say, well, you know, those people up there. I think about the lust of David. What he committed, that adultery he committed with one of his key soldiers' wives. And then to cover up that thing, he had that soldier placed at the front lines so he'd be killed in battle. Yeah, if you're guilty of lust, if you're guilty of trying to cover it up, if you're guilty of trying to hide it, you wouldn't want to come to church and let the preacher open the mirror of the Word of God and preach on that subject. He doesn't even know you're doing it. He has no idea who he's talking about when he says it, but the Holy Spirit of God knows who it is, and he applies the screws to that person because they're finally getting a reflection in the mirror of what they really look like instead of what they're trying to get everybody to think they look like. The Bible's a mirror. I think of the cursing of Peter. I don't know the man. Blankety blank, the Bible says he began to curse and swear and say, I don't know. You got a problem with cursing? You're not gonna like coming into church and have the preacher preach on it. The drunkenness of Noah, the worldliness of Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, everything we get into in the Word of God is convicting. It's a mirror that shows us our natural state. And in our natural state, folks, we're not good. And it doesn't matter what mask we put on the outside. It doesn't matter how we clothe ourselves in the outward appearance. Inside, that's exactly, it's an honest reflection of what we look like. The Bible doesn't care if it hurts your feelings. Here's the thing. When I saw that black between my teeth, I'd rather find out and deal with it and go out the door feeling a little better about it. People say, well, I don't want to know about sin. I don't want to know about the things in my life that God doesn't approve of. I don't want to face that. I don't want to worry about that stuff. Well, then you just go on your way and walk out that door and go to a lake of fire because you're offended by that mirror giving you an actual portrayal of what you really look like. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've got just a few minutes left and I've got more notes left than I've got time. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. If you've hung on this long, give me a few more minutes and you'll feel better about yourself. But let's get an honest appraisal. Let's get an honest view of what we really look like to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters." Idolatry is not just bowing down to an image, it's putting anything before God. "Nor adulterers, nor effeminate." Our world's got a big problem with that. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That's homosexuality. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers," angry, "nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." You know why you need to look in the mirror? You need to look in the mirror to see what you really look like by God so that you can make a change. So that you can comb the hair. So you can brush the teeth. So you can brighten up the eyes. So you can do whatever. So you can trim the nose hairs. Whatever it is that needs to be done, you look into a mirror, you see what the problems are, and you fix it. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You have this problem and that problem and the other problem and this problem. But he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you. You looked in the mirror and you saw that you were a fornicator or an idolater or an adulterer or effeminate or an abuser or a thief or covetous or drunkards or reviled." He said, "And such were some of you," verse 11, "but ye are washed. But ye are sanctified," set apart. "But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." When I look into the mirror, I don't see the young man I was. I don't see the vibrancy that was once there. I don't look as good, even to me, I never look good, but I don't look as good as I used to look. But you know what I know when I look in that mirror? No matter how bad that looks, you know what I know? I got a wife that loves me. I've got children that love me, regardless of how I look. Regardless of the imperfections and regardless of the attacks of age, I've still got a wife that loves me. When you look into the mirror of the Word of God, you don't get a very pretty picture. Your heart's deceitful above all things. Your throat, your mouth, your lips, your feet, your ways, your walk, your eyes. It's all a disaster. But you've got somebody that loves you in spite of the imperfections. In spite of the ugliness. You've got someone that loves you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you admit those imperfections to Him, you are washed, the Bible says. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what we've got today, folks? We've got a world that's walking around that's ugly. They're trying to paint it up as best they can. Their outward appearance, the situation and circumstances of this world and life, they're painting the most beautiful picture they can possibly paint. But underneath everything, if you take the painting off the mat, it is an ugly backdrop. It is an ugly picture. And the only thing that rescues us from the ugliness the world is in is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But such were some of you. But now you are washed. In John chapter 15 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken." The word, it's a mirror. It gives us a proper reflection of ourselves. I've said this before. Let's run this scenario. Let's say at the end of the service today, we give an invitation and there's somebody here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You come to church, you put on the good show outwardly, you're covering that heart that's in there, but you've never committed to Jesus Christ. You come down at invitation time, somebody shows you that you're a sinner, and you cry out and say, "Lord, I now understand how ugly I am. I understand how sinful I am. I see my heart, the deceit, the lies, the corruption. I understand what's really down inside of me. And Lord, I ask you to wash me and to cleanse me." You know what happens that none of us can see by our natural eye? All that stuff gets washed away. It's like a torrent of a flood comes down. It's the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes that soul whiter than snow and cleanses away all that sin and washes them. Oh, they come down ugly inside and they walk down white. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." I wonder, how do you look this morning to God? We put this on the outside so God will be impressed. That's not why we put it on, but we put it on. But what's it look like in here? When God's looking at you right now, God's looking down from heaven at you specifically, individual. God can do that, by the way. And He's looking at you right now. He's not looking at this. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. He's looking in there right now at you. What does He see? Does He see the things we've talked about? The ugliness, the corruption? Or does He see a soul that's been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can I say this? You never look in a mirror one time and then throw it away. You go back to the mirror regularly. Saved child of God, you might have been made washed clean from your sins, but you pick up dirt in this world every day. You need to go back to that mirror every single day. Get that black stuff out of your teeth. Get those hairs in place. Adjust the wrinkles around the eyes. Do whatever you can. We need to go to that mirror every day. The Word of God is a mirror. And woe to the man that looketh into the mirror and sees his own reflection and that turns away and does nothing about it. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know He's washed you white as snow? Are you still in the filthiness of sin? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.